Now we come today to our 15th overall message in the book of Titus, preaching from Titus, and we come to our 10th message on But Speak Thou the Things Which Become Sound Doctrine. Let me read to you again our text verse, Titus chapter 2, verse number 1, But Speak Thou the Things Which Become Sound Doctrine. Now Paul is telling his young preacher here, Titus, to preach the things which become sound doctrine. And he's laid out some doctrine there in Titus chapter number 2. Now, let me say that we said doctrine, of course, is the teachings of Jesus Christ or the teachings of God. And sound means of good health. And you got to have good doctrine to have a good life. And God's doctrine is always sound. Everything about God is good. Now, when you have bad doctrine, you have false religion and you have all kinds of immorality. But we're taking these doctrines and we're going through, and I'm hoping to go through 20 of these. I'm at number 16 today, and of course these are the 10th message on these doctrines, and I'm hoping to go through some of these doctrines and try to help you. And I hope you'll have your Bible, at least write down the scriptures. Now today I want to speak to you on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to look with me in 1 John, if you have a Bible, 1 John chapter number 5. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. The Bible said, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Bible said in verse number 8, And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Our Heavenly Father, would you help us today and use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we read in Titus chapter number 2 that we're to speak the things which become sound doctrine. And so we're speaking on the subject of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter number 5, verses 7 and 8 gives you the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In this sense, there are three. There's the Trinity that is presented in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. Now you're leading a non-version of the Bible, let's call it that way. You're leading a Bible out there that's not King James. It leaves this verse completely out. Now let me say to you that you can't have a gospel, you can't have a salvation without the Trinity. Yes, there's God the Father, and in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, He came upon men. Remember, He came upon Samson, He came upon other men. He did not dwell in men. And then in the and of course there's Jesus Christ. Now, these bear record in heaven. Remember, I've told you through this series, God does everything with a witness and a record. Now, then there's three that bear witness in earth, and that's the Spirit, that's capitalized, that is the Holy Spirit, and the water, that's the written Word of God. I believe that to be the Word of God. And then the blood, and the blood, I thought a lot about that. What does that mean? Well, the blood that Jesus shed is a witness, amen? And remember, the Bible said that God said Abel's blood, he said he cried to him from the ground. And I believe that we, as the blood-bought saints of God, are a witness in the earth to what God has done. But now, I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit, amen, the Holy Spirit. And he's very misunderstood. And today, we need more of the Spirit of God manifesting Himself among us than in any age that we've ever lived in the church. And I'm afraid that you and I, and I'll put me there as well, I'm not above you, I'm afraid that we are the least led generation of the Holy Spirit than any generation of the New Testament church. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid that many, many of us need to get acquainted again with God and the ways of God. Folk, we have become so mechanical. We've become so do it on our own. We can do it. And we have left out the most important person. And I believe that, let me say this to you. Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I believe the Holy Spirit today is wanting to do a work. He's wanting to bring revival. He's wanting to revive the church. He's wanting to save sinners. And yet we quench Him. And I'm going to deal with a lot of that today. I'm going to deal very simply. So I'm going to use it like this. First of all, let me say, as dealing with the Holy Spirit, number one, or I've got A written down here, but you can use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. But no, first of all, I want to say that He is God. The Holy Spirit is God, all right? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus Christ and is as much God as God the Father. Now we see Him even in Genesis chapter number 1. The first verse in your Bible gives us the Trinity. The Bible said, in the beginning, God. That's an interesting word there, and we're going to look at that in a second. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the word God there is the word Elohim, and it means plural. It means more than one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, they're all three in one. Man was created in the image of God. Now, let me show you something. Did you know that your all parts of your body is made in threes. Your hand is made in three parts. Your finger is made in three joints. Your foot is made in three joints. Your leg is made in three. The body is made in the image of God. And so we are created that way. And so God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He is God. So I want you to understand the Holy Ghost is God. Amen. He's as much God. By the way, I understand what people are saying, but He's not the third part of anything. Sometimes people say, well, He's the third part of the Trinity. No, I know what you're saying, but He's really not the third. He's equal with God the Father and God the Son. We must understand that. Let me go on. The second thing I want you to notice, number two, He's not only God, but He has a name. He has a name. You say, preacher, He does. He has a name. Yes, He does. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19 gives you His name. The Bible said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. His name is Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, I have noticed for some reason that a lot of your commentary writers leave out Holy Ghost. They'd rather put Holy Spirit there. I am not scared of that word Holy Ghost. All right? Now, I'm a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. All right? But I am not scared of that word Holy Ghost. I refuse to let a bunch of hand-clapping, toe-tapping folk that take their doctrine and mix it all up, that's not going to drive me away from preaching about the Holy Ghost of God. I want you to understand something. The Holy Ghost is real. He has a name. Amen? He is God. He is God. And He's the most sensitive person in the Godhead, all right? And He has a name. Now, I'll slow down on some of these, but I'm going fast on some. Now, the third thing I want you to notice about, number one, not only is He God, number two, He has a name. Number three, let me show you this. He lives in the believer. He lives in you. Now, let me go back and explain some things. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon men. In the Old Testament, he came upon Samson, and of course he escaped from the Philistines and killed the lion. Remember, he came upon different men at different times. He would come upon different men. Now, in the New Testament, after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit dwells inside the believer. When you get saved by the good grace of our God, you are saved eternally. And Jesus went back to heaven, and yet Jesus did not leave us without somebody. The Holy Spirit came, and He lives in us. Romans says that if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And so you understand that we are God's. Amen. We are God's. Amen. And we belong to Him today. The Spirit has put a seal upon us. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, when I got saved, if you put a seal on something, you make it official. We have board meetings, and we have our board minutes and all that kind of thing. And my wife will take the seal, and she will place it on those minutes, you see. And that's official, our seal, our company seal, our incorporation seal. Now, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God sealed me. Amen. In the sight of God, I'm sealed. I'm a believer. Now, we taught that earlier in this series on Titus about eternal salvation, of which I make no apology. Amen. Once you're saved, you're saved. And let me say this to you. Anything you do after you're saved that's against God, you grieve and quench the Holy Ghost. And we'll talk about that later. But He lives inside the believer. He lives. I have God living inside of me when I got saved. January 22nd, 1978, when I asked the Lord to come into my heart, Jesus Christ, amen, came into my heart. The Holy Spirit came to live with me. Now, let me show you John 14:16. The Bible said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, how long is the Holy Spirit going to be with me? Forever. He's going to be with me through all eternity. Amen. When I got saved, I got him. I remember when I got saved that day, that night, the next day, the 23rd day of January. I remember that. I remember going to school. I cannot explain to you on the inside. I do not believe it was necessarily emotions. It was emotions, but it was the Holy Spirit of God. I felt so clean. I felt so different. Now, you know that when you got saved, especially if you came from a life of sin, when you got saved, that cleanness, there's a change on the inside of you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. And so here's the deal. When I got saved by the good grace of God, the Spirit of the Lord came inside me to live in me. Now, there's a purpose for that. We'll get to that a little bit later. But let me read to you John 14, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, the world does not and cannot comprehend what I have today. The world cannot comprehend that. Now, I say I'm saved. Well, to the world, to the man out there who don't believe in God or says he don't believe in God, he don't understand what I've got. You see, to the person that don't go to church, the person that is not born again, they don't understand the Holy Spirit of God. Why, brother, if you went to a ball stadium today and 80,000 people sitting there at a football game and you got up and talked about the Holy Spirit, most of them not going to know what you're talking about. Can I tell you, a lot of people in our churches have no idea what the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he does. Can I tell you that right now? Now, we have a lot of things going in church that we attribute to the Holy Spirit. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit has never told you to do anything wrong, and he'll never tell you to do anything wrong. And we got to be careful. We got to be careful that even in a church service, we don't do something that is wrong because the Holy Spirit is the most sensitive person that there is. And you can quench a church service, especially a testimony, sir, people testifying, bragging on the Lord, you can stand up and say the wrong thing. And I'll tell you one of the biggest things. Now, I joke a lot, okay? I really do. I joke a lot. I guess I'm like Brother Billy Kelly. I joke a lot. And all that's okay. I mean, you know, to have a sense of humor. I like it. I love Brother Kelly. I love different people that tell jokes and things. I do. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned, and I think he knew this, and all other preachers know this that preach. When you preach, there's a time that you can joke, and there's a time you can't. And I'll tell you what, one of the biggest ways you can drive away the Spirit of God in the middle of a testimony service is to start joking. And the Spirit of God will he's done. And you can say the wrong things. You can get to bragging on mom and daddy and all this stuff. And if you do that too much, it'll drive him away. He's all about promoting Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, the devil hates the very Spirit of God. And I'll show you in a few minutes why he hates him. But you see, I have something today. The Lord gave me a song about 40 years ago. I wrote a song entitled, I Got Something the World Ain't Got. Amen. May not be good English, but I wrote the song anyway. And I do. I have something the world does not have today. The world does not have the Holy Spirit living inside them. You know, I kind of feel sorry for some people when it comes dying time. I heard about one of my dear preacher friends the other day. I mean, a hero to me when I was a little boy. And this man just passed away now a few days ago as of the time I'm recording this. And boy, they talked about how that he just passed away in such peace. They said, the nurse said, she'd never seen a man die with such peace in his soul. Glory to God, that's what God does. That's what the Spirit of God does. He goes with me all the way. You see, he's not even going to leave me when I go to heaven. He's going right there with me. Amen. And so, when I lay down, it comes dying time. The angels are going to escort me into the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit's going to go right with me. Amen. So, you see, dying's no big deal. Oh, we don't want to leave our loved ones. We don't want to leave this world. But if you're there today and you know that, you know, I might be talking to somebody today and you have a very short time to live. But let me say this to you. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, he's going to go with you all the way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. That staff is a type of the Holy Ghost. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort comfort me. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so I've got something today the world don't have. Now, the world don't understand it. The world don't understand salvation. If the world could understand how good it is to be saved, why, brother, they'd get saved. You say, well, preacher, why in the world don't they get saved? The Bible said the God of this world, which is talking about the devil and Satan, the God of this world hath blinded their minds. Why, brother, the devil has blinded people's minds about riches and about immorality, and they think that that is heaven on earth. Well, it's not heaven. I mean, riches ain't heaven. Why, brother, the cheapest thing in heaven is gold. You're going to walk on it. Why, brother, you know, people kill each other for money and for riches. Why, well, just get saved. You go to heaven. You'll have all the riches you want. You won't have to kill and steal. Amen. Now, let me go on and show you the fourth thing about the Holy Spirit of God. The fourth thing is He convicts the sinner. Now, let's understand what happens here. When a man is lost and a man hears the Word of God. Now, I believe this. God is chose for the most. Now, I realize that creation declares the glory of God, and I've preached that. But I want to say to you, for the most part, preaching is what God has ordained today to get the job done. Now, you'll say, preacher, we don't have as many people saved today as we did 30 years ago. I want to tell you something. We have less preaching today than we did 30 years ago. Why, brother, churches everywhere are cutting their services back. And people say, well, you know, we got to have time for family. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something. What did we do 100 years ago? Amen. We worshiped God. We went to church more, not less. And sinners got saved. They heard the Word of God. Why, brother, today, and I hate to say this, I don't want to make people mad, but the answer today is not in some podcast that you can sit and talk about issues. Now, listen, if you do that, I'm not mad at you. I just opened up a can of worms right there and made some folk mad. I'm not mad at you if you do that. You do what you want to do. But I'm going to tell you something. Preaching is what will get the job done. Preaching's always worked. Preaching works now, and preaching always will. You'll say, preacher, you're old-fashioned. No, you got it wrong. I'm Bible. Amen. I'm Bible. God chose the foolishness of preaching. So now, when the Word of God is preached like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, here's what happened. In Acts 2:37, the Bible said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, the Bible said, well, let me go back here. The devil, he's trying to trip me. Well, he really don't like this. He really don't like this. And by the way, before I read that verse, some of you are still... I'm not against people that have podcasts. I want you to understand that. I'm just saying to you that primarily preaching is what's going to get the job done. That's why I'm saying there. All right. Now, Acts 2:37, I'm going to read it to you. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, what happened here? They were pricked in their heart. Now, that word pricked is only found one time in the New Testament. Now, it means this. It literally means this. To agitate violently. Now, here's the deal. When you are lost and you are not saved, when you hear the Word of God, if you will open your heart to it, God will reveal Himself to you that He is God. I heard about a man one day. He was mixed up. And he said, Lord, he prayed to God. He said, God, show me what religion is right. Lord, show me. Send me somebody by to explain to me what is right. Because this one says that and that one says this. You know, my grandpa asked me a question many years ago, probably 45 years ago. My grandpa asked me, how do you know God is right? Now, as a little boy, I didn't understand how to answer that question, really. But my grandpa was seeking something when he asked me that question. Now, listen, I want to tell you something. This man that I was talking about, though, he prayed. And you know what? That day, God sent a Baptist preacher by and won that man to the Lord. God will reveal Himself to you. When you hear preaching, whether it be on the radio, whether it be in church, whether it be on a podcast, whether it be on a computer, whether it be on internet, whether it be on the video, when you hear preaching, God works through that preaching to reveal Himself to you, and God does prick sinners. Now, in other words, that guilt, I remember, 1977. I was thinking about this yesterday. 1977. I remember that I probably was in 77, 76, 77, somewhere in that area, that Dr. Ed Ballew went down to Faith Baptist Camp. Brother Sammy Allen called on him to preach, and he preached that famous message on hell. Our ministry over the years has probably given out as many copies of that message on hell as we have anything. And that message on hell. Amen. One of the greatest messages I think I've ever heard in my life. Well, they brought that back to North Carolina. Brother Carl Lackey had the cassette tape, and he made copies of it. And anyway, my pastor at the time, I had a radio broadcast on the local station there in Elkin, North Carolina. And so he ran that sermon for 2 weeks on the radio broadcast. I believe it was 2 weeks. And my mom and daddy, they played that sermon. And man, you're talking about making me feel uncomfortable. Well, then lo and behold, they got a copy of it. And they played it in the tape recorder. And it made, oh, listen, I'm telling you, oh, the summer of 77, I was 10 years old. But I was under deep conviction. I was listening to preaching. And let me tell you something. Now, many people sometimes don't understand what's happening to them. Brother Ed Ballew drove into a gas station one day. And he said he really didn't even hardly have enough money to get the gas, but he had to get gas. And he told the man, he said, put me in, I don't know, 50 cent worth, a dollar's worth, whatever it was. And the man said, I will. And he seen the man was bothered. And Brother Blue said, sir, he said, what, is something troubling you? And the gas attendant, that was back when they pumped the gas for you, he said, yes, sir, it is. He said, I went to church yesterday on Sunday. And he said, I you call it conviction or something. He said, but the Lord is really just all over me. I need to get saved. And Brother Ballew said, well, I believe I can help you with that. He said, are you a preacher? He said, I sure am, sir. I'm a Baptist. He said, would you come in my store for a minute? And Brother Ed Ballew won that man to God. That man gave him a free tank of gas for winning him to the Lord. Let me tell you something, brother. I want to tell you something. Hey, you don't win people to the Lord to get things. Brother Ballew didn't do that either. But the Lord rewarded Brother Ballew for winning that man to God. Amen. But you know what? God sent Brother Ballew by at the right time. That man was under conviction. And he sent him by at the right time, amen, to get saved. Now, let me tell you, if you're serious about God, you're out there today and you're feeling uneasiness. You know there's something in your life. Don't you go to hell for anybody, okay? Don't you do it. You say, well, preacher, my family thinks I'm saved. My mama thinks I'm saved. My daddy thinks I'm saved. My wife, my girlfriend thinks I'm saved. Listen, I don't care who thinks you're saved. If you ain't saved, get saved. There'll be more people in hell over pride than any other issue. And the devil gets glory out of that he's tricked people into religion. You say, well, I do everything at my church. I'm the main cog in the wheel. You better forget about that stuff. Brother, that stuff will send you to hell. I heard a man tell a story one time about how he witnessed to a man in a motorcycle gang. And he looked at that guy. The man was standing there. He looked at that guy and he said, hey, buddy. He said, don't ride that motorcycle off into hell. Now, he wasn't cussing. He was just telling him, there's a hell. And that man got under conviction. That preacher didn't see that man anymore for 3 years. And brother, that man later got saved. And he hunted that preacher down. He said, sir, I just want you to know that day there at that restaurant, when you looked at me and said, don't ride that motorcycle off into hell. He said, God began dealing with me. And he said, everywhere I went, that thing rung in my ears and I couldn't get away from that. I want you to understand something. Won't you understand something, friend? You listen to me. The conviction of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God will do more sometimes, preachers, in our preaching than we can do. Now, we think it's our eloquent speech and our outlines and our well put together sermons. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with a well put together sermon, but you better make sure that you're saying what the Holy Spirit tells you to say. I choose to preach in simplicity. Some of you would call it ignorance. I call it simplicity. Amen. I choose to preach in that because I believe this. God has called me in this generation. I'm here for such a time as this to reach people. I'm here to reach the common people. I'm here to reach the mailman and the doctor and the milkman and the bread man and the soft drink man. I'm here to reach the construction worker and the truck driver. I'm here to reach. That's what God has put me here to do. And so, I want to preach simple, but I tell you, if you ain't saved, let the Holy Spirit of God show you that you need a Savior. Now, let me move on to number five, and I want to give you this. The Holy Spirit restrains evil upon this earth. Did you know the Spirit of God is withholding the devil right now? Now, you know, years ago, we had in America, we had more God and more power of God, and our churches were filled. Let me tell you what's happening. Slowly but slowly, God is allowing the Holy Spirit to remove Himself from restraining evil. One of these days, He's going to be taken out of the way. Let me read to you from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There's going to come a day, and I'll tell you when that day is, the day of rapture. When God raptures the New Testament church, the Spirit of God is going to be taken out of the way. Now, His work is not done, but He's going to be taken out of the way as far as the devil's concerned, and the devil and the Antichrist are going to take this world over. And brother, that's why you have so much demonic forces today in dark movies, dark videos, people walking into shopping malls shooting each other. It is demonic forces of hell. That's what it is. It's the devil and his forces, brother, and the Holy Spirit right now. If the Holy Spirit was not here to restrain, can you imagine what man would do? Can you imagine after the rapture of the New Testament church, what's going to happen? That first 3.5 years is going to be peace. The Antichrist somehow is going to have the power of the devil, is going to be able to bring peace. But brother, that last 3.5 years, can you imagine? Of course, there's a certain point in that when death's going to flee, man. But can you imagine the killing and the violence and the things going to happen when the Spirit of God is not around? Brother, can you? I want to say this to you. For years and years, the nation of America has protected Israel. And I want to say I thank God for that. And I want to say the reason that God's hand is upon America right now is because she's a protector of Israel. I want you to know that God, that the devil hates Israel. I want you to understand that. And brother, God loves Israel. And God has used America to protect Israel. That's one reason that God has had His blessings upon America. Did you know right now, and this would scare you if you thought about it, right now our enemies are sitting there ready to take us over. And I want to say this to you. I want to say this. You might, but I don't. I don't find America in Bible prophecy. Now you might could come up with her. I don't. But I want to say this to you. We got two major powers right now. If they ever got together, I believe they could take us out. And I tell you right now, the communists are sitting by. There's communists right here in America, and I believe they're ready to hand it over to the communist nations. And we are closer than you've ever seen of being taken over by a foreign nation. We always think we can defeat things. And we always say, and by the way, I salute our men and women in the military. I salute that. And I thank God for them. And we say we've got the finest military in the world, and I believe that. But what I'm saying to you is this. If God decides to allow America to pay for her sins, then America, now I don't know that America will be taken over, but I'll say this to you right now. It's leaned that way. I can tell you why she ain't already been. I can tell you why God's not already judged America. It's because there's some God-fearing, praying saints that are believing God, and the Holy Spirit is still present in our churches. The Holy Spirit's still working on our radios. The Holy Spirit is still working in America. And He's still, by the way, He's working even in government. I've seen Him do some things. I'm not going to get into them here on the radio right now, but I've seen God do some things that man cannot do in the last 5 years in our government. I've seen God do some stuff. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit is a restrainer of evil. The Holy Spirit keeps evil back. Amen. And that's why today that the Holy Spirit, that's one of His purposes on earth. But when He's gone, this place is going to become a very evil place. Now, let me show you another one here. Number 6, I want you to notice this. He is the believer's comfort. The Holy Spirit is my comfort. He's your comfort. He's the believer's comfort. Now, that word means a little bit more than comfort, and we'll get into that in just a second. But I want to call your attention to John chapter number 14 and verse number 16. I'm preaching on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, let me show you again the word there that the Holy Spirit's going to be with us forever. He prayed the Father. He's gone to heaven. Now He's given us another Comforter. As I've told you before, we have somebody living on the inside of us. Now He has a job. As the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, His job is to comfort us. That's what it means. By the way, I want to ask you a question. How many times have you ever been comforted by the Spirit of God? The devil's a liar. And the devil will come to you in your mind and tell you lies. Did you know that? The devil will lie you. He will lie you about the Scriptures. He'll lie you about salvation. That's why so many people doubt their salvation. Now, there's a difference in not being saved and doubting your salvation. There's some folk, they go through their whole life doubting their salvation. Although they're really saved, they go through their whole life doubting. Let me tell you why. They're listening to the devil. And I had to quit listening to the devil. The devil did that to me in my early days. And I had to quit listening to the devil about that. Now, you can't do anything for God, really be effective for God, doubting your salvation. You can't. You got to get that settled. You got to move on. Amen. But let me say this to you. But God, the Holy Spirit will comfort you. The Holy Spirit tells me I'm saved. The Holy Spirit tells me things are going to work out. I'll give you I could give you several illustrations in my life. I can't explain to you how God does it, but you know what I'm talking about. When God gives you that peace, I never forget this. My family didn't have anything. And we were living in an old mobile home. And boy, I tell you what, we were living in a bad place. It wasn't a good place to live anyway. The environment around there wasn't too good. And boy, the water was coming down the wall in the home. And I decided one night, I said, we got to get out of here. And, you know, my daddy, and bless his heart, Mom and Daddy last 40 years old, and I said, we got to get out of here. And I'd saved a little money back, and me and Mama got talking about it. And so we went down there, and we found a friend of our family, and they were going to sell a double-wide trailer mobile home. Boy, I'd never seen anything that nice. They took us a tour on it. And I got out there in the yard that night, and I was praying about it. You know, I like to pray and ask God. And I was praying about it, and God said, I just couldn't get the peace about it. God would not give me the peace that we was going to get that trailer home. And boy, I was standing there thinking, God, why? I mean, this is beautiful. Lord, help us. I mean, and God just wouldn't give me the peace about it. And I went back home, and sure enough, we didn't get that trailer home. Some things fell through. But while I was on the phone with the lady from the bank, she told me about another situation. And in about a week, amen, I went to Ronda, North Carolina, and praise the Lord, my mom and daddy had a 10-room house. How about that? Amen. Instead of a double wide trailer, they got a 10-room house. How about that? Now God gave me the peace about that. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, brother. God's peace is worth everything. And the Bible said, let the peace of God dwell in you richly. That word peace is the word umpire. It means to umpire. Let the peace of God call the balls and strikes in your life. You know what I do? I pray about things. And when I feel peace about them, then I know to do them. That's not emotionalism. That's the Holy Spirit. By the way, you're going to have to give room for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Some of you fellas are so, and I understand what's driven you to the point, because there is so much emotionalism. There's so much foolery out there. I understand that. But if we ain't careful, fellas, and preachers especially, we will get to the place where we rule out any emotions whatsoever. The Holy Spirit of God is like a wind. The Bible said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou canst not, thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. I hear the wind blowing, but I can't see the wind. Now the Holy Spirit is like that. And he will move, and it's not all the times emotion, it's the Holy Spirit moving in your life. It's the Holy Spirit giving you comfort. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I remember a time, one of the first prayers God ever answered for me. My mama was facing some surgery. You've heard me tell that many times on the radio. And I prayed about it, and the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, she ain't going to have that surgery. I was so happy. Oh, the Lord just told me from heaven she wasn't going to have it. And I told Daddy, I said, Mama ain't going to have that surgery. And Daddy rebuked me. He said, now, boy, you know she is. Now, the doctor's already told us. And sure enough, we went out the next morning, and the doctor said, Miss Cotton, that place is healed up. We're not going to have to take you back to surgery. Oh, thank God. And from boy, I tell you what, and God began to increase my faith through that. God began to help me through that. And I want you to understand something, friend. God will do that. Amen. He's your comforter. Now, this word don't just mean comforter, but it also means advocate. When I sin, when I do something I'm not supposed to do, I can go to God. And the Holy Ghost is my legal advocate. That's a legal term. He's my advocate. I mean, he pleads me, goes to God. And then Jesus Christ pleads my case to God the Father. But the Holy Spirit, by the way, Romans says that the Holy Ghost knows how to pray for us. Many times I will do this. Now, I know this is getting a little bit deep, but I will do this. I will sit before the Lord and not say a word. Many times if I have an issue that needs prayer about it, I just take that issue and lay it before God. And I let the Holy Spirit do the praying for me. You see, because Romans says he helps us, he bears our infirmities. It's sort of like this. Amen. The Holy Spirit wants you to pray too. Now you gotta do your part. It's sort of like you going down the street and you have a big old heavy box and you say, Jim, would you help me with this box? Would you carry it for me? Jim said, no, I won't carry it for you, but I'll help you carry it. You see. And so here's the thing about it. The Holy Spirit helps me in my prayer life. And if you never tried that, you'll try to sit before God. Let him do the praying. He knows what to say, you see. But you got to do praying too. You're praying, but you're not saying anything. You just sit before the Lord and you say, preacher, is that weird? No, you look in the book of Romans. I'm not teaching you a weird doctrine. David went in and sat before the Lord. Amen. And I believe that we ought to let the Holy Spirit do our praying. Let him help us. He knows what to ask for more than I do. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean we shouldn't ask God? No. We should ask God. We should ask God for our petitions. We should bring them to God. God wants us to. But through the Holy Spirit, God will answer those prayers. Amen. It means this. It means summon or call to one side. It means call to one side. One who pleads another's case. Amen. Before a judge, it means a pleader. It means somebody who pleads my case and helps me. And then it also means counsel for defense. It means legal assistant. Amen. An advocate. It means one intercessor. All right, and that's just what I was talking about. Amen. In the widest sense, it means a helper. All right. A comforter is my helper. The Holy Ghost is me. He does so many things. He's my helper. He intercedes to God on my behalf. He helps me. He guards me. I believe the Holy Spirit, sometimes I believe the devil would love to kill us. I believe he'd like to kill me. I believe he would. And the Holy Spirit said, you ain't got him yet. Catherine's time ain't come yet. My time will come, but it ain't come yet. Now the Holy Spirit, amen. What a great friend. What a helper. He can be your friend. Now let me show you another thing about the Holy Spirit. The seventh thing I want to show you, he's our teacher. Now he is our teacher. Psalm 119:18. I pray this prayer every day. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now let me say this to you. You study out of all the books you want to study out of. But I want to say there's some dangerous doctrine that is introducing itself in our pulpits today because men are preaching what other men have written. I choose to preach what God has written. Amen. Now, that don't mean that I do look at other men's writings, but I want to say this to you. There is nothing compared to the Holy Spirit of God. I looked up a verse one day in about 4 or 5 commentaries, 2 or 3 said, no, it don't mean that, don't mean that, don't mean that. I kept studying the Bible. It meant exactly what it said it meant. The commentary right there, you see, what I have found about man is man will reason out things. Man tries to figure out. I read it just this morning. God said, lean not to thine own understanding. You can't figure God out. I can't figure God out. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading books and commentaries. Please don't go away and say I said that. I didn't say that. But I am saying this. You better let the Holy Spirit of God be your teacher. When you're studying the Bible, think about and ask the Lord what His opinion is of it. Preacher, do you ever ask the Lord what that verse means? Do you ever, you know, I had a verse in my mind and I didn't know what it meant and I prayed and prayed about it. And one day I had a little procedure done. The next day they wanted me to, I just had to kind of stay at home, sit around. And I listened to a message. I put a message in and this preacher preached from that very text that I didn't understand and explained those verses. Now listen, that's God right there. You pray about it and God will help you. Daniel understood. Daniel sought to understand by books and God answered him and gave him the vision. Let me tell you something. When you seek God, God will be found of you. The Bible said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. Ask, seek, knock. Amen. That's the acronym for ask. Amen. Ask, seek, knock. Let me tell you something. When you ask from God, when you seek from God, when you knock from God, God will give it to you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now, we should let Him teach us the Word of God. When I'm studying the Word of God, I should always be open to the Holy Spirit telling me what it means. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you the simplest meaning to a verse. And the commentary writer will say, oh, that don't mean that. You see, because that's beneath the commentary writer to say that. No, let me tell you, I'm not against all commentary writers, but I'm saying this to you. God answers in simplicity. Sometimes it's the simplest meaning to a verse. Sometimes God wants us to use common sense concerning the Bible. Did you know that? He sure does. Now, let me help you. All right, John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I want to explain it to you like this. The Holy Spirit today teaches you according to how much Bible you know and how much preaching you listen to. You see, the Holy Spirit will bring the Bible back to your remembrance. If you hear a verse and you memorize a verse or you hear somebody preach a verse, then the Holy Spirit will bring that verse back to your remembrance when He needs to. Now, let me say this to you. The Holy Spirit, I believe, will never bring a portion of Scripture to you that's not already in your mind. That's why you must study the Bible. You must learn some verses, memorize some verses. The more Bible you have inside your heart and mind, the more Bible the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. Amen. He can't bring it to your remembrance if you've never heard it. Amen. There's some Christians, some born-again believers, that you have never read through your Bible. Amen. I hope you'll read through it. I hope it's the greatest book in the world. Read through it. And boy, you'll be blessed by it. And you'll be happy. And you'll want to shout when you read certain things. And then the Holy Spirit will bring things back to your remembrance. And then He'll start connecting things and putting this scripture with that scripture and that scripture with this scripture. And you may start out being a babe in Christ. And you may come up with things. And by the way, if somebody comes to you with a question, say, man, I found this in the Bible and it's very elementary. Don't make fun of them. Let me give you an illustration. Husband, maybe you're the preacher. If your wife comes to you and she says, honey, I had this thought out of the Bible and I studied. Don't just say, oh, that's for kids. Don't do that to her. If it's the most elementary thing you ever heard, you say, that's right, that's good. While you go back and study somewhere, encourage people to study. I do your husband the same way, amen, your children the same way, mom and daddy the same way. Encourage people to study the Bible. You see, the Holy Spirit will teach you, but you got to grow in that teaching. You won't start out as a new Christian knowing everything there is to know about the Bible. Matter of fact, as an older Christian, I don't know everything there is to know about it. Nobody else does. Amen. There'll be men that will die, and they'll never know a fraction of the Bible, even though they've studied it all their life. You can't exhaust the Bible. But let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. When you come upon something you don't understand, it's all right to get man's opinion on it. Man, God sheds light through man sometimes. He sure does. Let me go back and say that. Some men have written some good books, and God sheds light through some of those men, and that's great. That's wonderful. I mean, that's good. Amen. But there are also times when the Holy Spirit has got the answer Himself, and He'll just give it to you now. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The Bible said, for they are foolishness unto him. The Bible said, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now let me say, a lost man does not understand, nor does he know the Bible. Now, you might take somebody that is not a believer in Christ, and they say, well, I know the Bible. Well, you don't know the Bible. If you did, you'd get saved. There was a man in our hometown. He said, oh, I know all about that Bible. He wasn't too smart. If he was, he'd have got saved. Let me say this to you. The Bible is God's book. And the more you study that Bible, the more you'll know it. But the lost person will never understand it until they get saved. Now, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit will start revealing the Bible. He'll start teaching the Bible to you. And I want to say to you new converts, and I want to say this in love, and I want to say this in kindness. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to on the internet, on the videos. Be careful on the radio even who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. There are people out there, and all they're out there for is to get their hand in your pocketbook. This prosperity Christianity is just took over. Amen. There are people out there that want to teach their agenda and their doctrine. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the Bible. Amen. The Word of God. I'm interested in the Bible. And so the Holy Spirit of God will help you. He will be your teacher. Now, let me give another thing about it. The eighth thing I want to give you, He is our leader. Now, you must allow the Spirit of God to lead you. Now, again, today we have introduced reason, and it's brought on a lot of problems in the church. Two main things about the will of God. First of all, we say, well, you know God wants this. You know God wants that. Wait a minute. I don't know God wants anything. The Holy Spirit is your leader. Remember, Paul tried to preach the Word of God, and the Bible said the Spirit forbade him. The Spirit suffered him not. Paul was trying to go back into Asia, and yet God wanted him into Macedonia. Now, if the Spirit of God had not stopped Paul, the Europeans would never have gotten the gospel, and you and I would never have gotten the gospel. So you see, God knew what He was doing. Let me say this. Through the leading of the Spirit of God, God always knows what He's doing. You don't hear this preached as much as you used to. But when God leads you to do something, you better do it. If God leads you to call somebody on the phone and cheer them up, you need to do it. If God leads you to witness to somebody, my pastor tells a story of how one day God put on his heart to witness to this man on a Monday, I believe it was. And the pastor didn't go, and something came up, he didn't go. And on Thursday or Friday, the pastor walked into a place of business, and they said to him, did you hear about so-and-so? He said, no, what? He said, they found him dead last night. Let me say to you, friend, when God tells you to go, you better go. Amen? And by the way, when God tells you to be an encouragement to somebody, you ought to always do what God tells you. If God tells you to give a piece of money, I was in Lenoir, North Carolina, several years ago. I was preaching a meeting, and God laid on my heart, there's a preacher sitting there beside me, and he's in heaven now. God laid it on my heart to give this preacher a certain amount of money. And boy, I wrestled with God over that. And, And I said, all right, I'll do it. And I reached out my billfold and I got a piece of money and I handed that preacher. I said, God told me to give this to you. And you know, before I left that service, somebody gave me five times what I gave that preacher. And I want to tell you something. Won't you listen to me? You better always be sensitive to the Spirit of God. I know where there's a well-known evangelist. He preaches all over the country. He's been in some of your churches. He's a great, great man of God. And he's a real good friend of mine. I appreciate him. And one day I was down praying. And I was praying, I was going through my prayer list. I don't know if I was bowed on my knees or sitting in a chair. I was praying. I was going through my prayer list. And I came to that man and God said, call him. And I said, Lord, I don't want to call him right now. I want to finish just praying. God said, I said, call him right now. I said, but Lord, God said, call him. And I got up and I got that phone and I called the man. And I said, dear brother, what's going on? Hey, he said, oh, brother, he called his wife. And he said, come here, you got to listen to this. He said, he just called me and asked me what's going on. He said, brother, he said, I'm trying to move and I'm sitting here and I'm down with the flu and she's got the flu. Said, but he's an awful mess. He just needs somebody to cheer him up that day. I said, well, brother, God told me to call you. I just wanted to be a blessing to him. He's been a blessing to me. And oh, listen, I find sometimes people, God tells me to call them. You know, sometimes I'll text people. Now, if you ever get a text from me, I don't text, and I'm not mad at you if you do this, but I don't text in chain texts. I just don't do that. I want to be personable with the person I'm speaking to. If you get a text from me that says, I'm praying for you, that means I'm praying for you, literally. If you get a text from me that says, I just finished praying for you, that means I just finished praying for you, okay? God has brought many a man to my mind. I'm thinking about a dear brother. Right now, he's a good, good brother. And boy, he's a pastor in the mountains of North Carolina. He's a good brother. Boy, you talk about going through the fire over the years. This man's went through the fire, but he refuses to quit. He preaches every Sunday. And every once in a while, God just put, I've never met that man, but one time in my life, just one time is all I've ever met him in my life. And I had a privilege of preaching in his church one Sunday. And God puts that man in my heart ever so often. Boy, I get to pray, and God said, you text him. Tell him you're praying for him. And then every once in a while, he'll text me, and he'll say, brother, I'm praying for you. I want you to listen. That's good right there, ain't it? Amen. You know what? Let the Holy Spirit be our leader. Let him guide you. Now, here's what the Scripture said. John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's the Word of God right there. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Now, I misunderstood that verse for years. I thought it meant the Holy Ghost would not magnify himself. That ain't what it's talking about. When it says he shall not speak of himself, in other words, he shall not speak anything that ain't of God. He's going to speak what the Bible says to you. Now, let me just stop and say this. And I'll never be able to finish this message. I had some other things written down. I'll never be able to finish this. If I do, I'll have to go 2 hours, and you wouldn't like that. But let me say this to you. The Spirit of God will never lead you. Let me just put it, Dr. Ballou had a better way of saying it. Dr. Stennett Ballou had a good way of saying this. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Holy Scriptures. Now, you mark that down. You say, well, preacher, God led me do this. Is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? That's how you judge God's leading. Is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Well, God led me to leave my wife and marry another one. No, he didn't. That's not in the Bible. Well, God led me to stir up trouble in the church. No, he didn't. That's not in the Bible. Well, God led me to do this. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Well, God led me to just get in a fight and punch somebody out. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, no. Let's get all that out. But boy, the good things that God does lead us to do. Let's talk about that. God leads you sometimes, ladies, to bake a cake for somebody. That's in the Bible. Amen. Withhold not your hand to do good when it's in thy power to do it. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, sometimes God said, put a set of, God laid on somebody's heart when I was pastoring in the mountains. God laid on somebody's heart to put a set of tires on my car. Can you believe that? They did. Somebody put a set of tires on my vehicle. Well, I still don't know who did it, but I thank God for it. Amen. I thank God for it. Amen. All I was told was go down to the tire shop, and they're going to put me a set of tires on. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. God knows. God knows. God will take care of you, my friend. God will take care of me. Amen. But let me tell you something, boy. We got to be led of the Spirit of God. I want to be led of the Spirit every day. The only way you can really be a blessing to somebody is be led of the Spirit. Did you know that? Let me give you another one here. Amen. Did you know that? He can, now, let me give you these. He can be grieved. When you commit sin and you willfully sin, I mean, you're saved by the grace of God, but you knowingly just go against God, you're grieving God. Let me quickly read to you Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, let me say this to you, that you You can grieve God, and you're sealed, but you can grieve God. You're God's child, but you can be a grievance to God. And then he gives some things of how we can grieve God. Verse 31, the Bible said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The Bible said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You see that we grieve the Holy Spirit. Then I want to say this, you can quench the Holy Spirit. Now, somebody said grieving the Holy Spirit is doing what you should not do. And quenching the Holy Spirit is not doing what you should do. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. We are not to quench the Holy Spirit of God. Quenching is extinguisher, putting him out. That's what I was talking about earlier. You get in a service, people get testifying, and you get to laughing and joking or something. And sometimes, and I do believe sometimes I have quenched God by my sense of humor in the pulpit. Now, I got nothing wrong with that. It's good in its place. But sometimes I think I've done a little bit too much of that, and I've quenched the Spirit of God. By the way, this entertaining, did you know if you're in a place and somebody's performing and you're clapping for them and all that, most of the time the Spirit of God's not in that. Most of the time the Spirit of God is in a quiet, just moving. You ever been to service? It wasn't really much going. It's just a quiet moving of God. That's the way the Spirit works most of the time. Amen. That's the way it works. Now I want to come to the last one. I'm going to close with this one. Every believer ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible said, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, let me say this to you. Being filled with the Spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. Being filled with the Spirit is not speaking in some language that nobody understands. That's not at all what he's talking about. I want to say that very few of us live our lives every day filled with the Spirit of God. We ought to be filled with the Spirit every hour, every moment of every day. We should be. And that way we could complete and fulfill God's will. You know, he used a comparison of wine here. Wine will affect you in three ways. It'll affect your talk, your walk, and your thought. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God, it will affect your thought, it will affect your talk, and it will affect your walk. You think about that. And you say, preacher, how do I get filled with the Spirit? Pray, read your Bible, listen to preaching. And the more you pray, the more filled you'll be. Let God have control of you. A good rule is every 3 hours, bow your head and whisper this prayer to God. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Just do that every 3 hours. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, over again. Just do it every 3 hours you're awake. Yield yourself to the Spirit of God. And God will bless you. Well, I hope this message been a help to you. I want it to be. And sinner, if you're not saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit. You pray for me. I don't feel I've done a real good job with this. Maybe I'll do a better job on the next message. Father, take the message. Use it for your glory. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.